Hello, everyone, and welcome to Midnight Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Latasha Molidor, and I will be sharing with you my personal ghost stories and stories I've heard from my family members, friends, and other sources. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to another episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. Thank you for your patience. My husband and I were moving, so we were busy with appointments for the house, closing, packing, and we had family in town. We finally moved and got settled in, so tonight on episode 27, I want to talk about the two paranormal investigations that I went to in May and this past October at the Parapeculiar Haunted Museum here in Austin, Texas. After that, I have two stories to share about creepy whistling, which is very similar to the investigations I went to, and a shadow figure. Stay tuned. This year, I was looking for another podcast to listen to, and I found Parapeculiar. So after I started following, I started scrolling through Instagram, and I came across a place called the Glass Coffin Vampire Parlor. It is a vampire-themed shop that has antiques and oddities. Next to it is the Velvet Casket, which is a gothic parlor lounge with other shops inside, and the Parapeculiar Haunted Museum. I decided that weekend to go look around, and I started with a glass coffin. There was a lot of Halloween stuff, which is there year-round, so that was exciting to me because Halloween is my favorite holiday. They also sell candles, herbs, witchcraft books, t-shirts, lots of vintage stuff that caters to the gothic theme. Lots of cool stuff to look at. While I was checking out, I noticed the family in front of me buying tickets, and I asked what it was for. The cashier said there was a room of haunted items in the back and asked if I was interested. I purchased a ticket and went inside with the two teenagers. There were huge creepy dolls, weird oddities like creatures in bottles, haunted board games, fun creepy stuff like that. It was pretty neat. Once I was done there, I walked over to the Velvet Casket, which is also part of this shop, just a building over. It was set up very gothic. Nice looking furniture, like a cafe with a bar set up and a small stage area. You could tell they have parties and events in here, which is a really nice decorated lounge. I looked around the shops inside and ended up buying a black candelabra. I had no idea what I wanted to do with it, just looked really cool. And there was a tarot card reader inside. I got a session with her, and she didn't ask me for a lot of information. Really, she just asked me for my name. She pointed out a few things that really stood out to me. She mentioned that I seemed to be stressed about leadership at work, which was accurate, because at the time I was deciding if I wanted to take on a leadership position at work. She also mentioned some issues between three women, could be friends or family. I had been having issues with some relatives at that point as well. I think the last one was about finances, which was the same thing that stood out with leadership. Back in October of 2022, when I had a card reading at a Halloween event, so that was interesting to me. After that, I walked to the room one door over and heard the host of Parapeculiar talking to some guests about the haunted museum. It wasn't fully set up, but he still provided us with a tour, so I walked in and introduced myself. It was funny because when I asked if he was the host, he was like, "How did you find my podcast?" Turns out he's friends with the host of the Real Ghost Up podcast. You hear me talk about them a lot in some of my episodes. So he starts telling us that his items are haunted, and basically people who don't want them, he will take them. He has over 100 Ouija boards, I believe, lots of dolls, clothing. There was even a small coffin. The one thing he said he would allow people to actually touch was a mask, almost like paper mache. He said that when people put the mask up to their face, they would either see or feel a presence. At first, I was like, "No thanks, I'm good." But I kept staring at it and was finally like, "You know what? Can I just pick it up?" He said, "One rule, if you pick up the mask, you have to put it on." I laughed and said, "Okay." I held the mask up to my face for a few minutes, and eventually I started to feel a strong sense of anxiety, like I did at the seance. I gave it back to him and told him that I just felt anxiety. He said that is usually the first thing people feel when they put the mask on, so that was creepy. In May, the Real Ghost of Podcast announced they were hosting a paranormal investigation at the Parapeculiar Haunted Museum inside the Velvet Casket. I hadn't been to an investigation in a couple of years and hadn't done anything paranormal since the seance they hosted, so I signed up for this event. We met inside the Velvet Casket, and there were snacks and drinks, and the owner gave us some information and history about the location. From what I can remember, the building is haunted, and I think so is the land it's on. And of course, there were the haunted items inside the building. Now, I was under the impression that all haunted items were just in the museum, but that wasn't the case. Our focus this night was the haunted mirror. Stories of the mirror vibrating and shaking with no explanation was mentioned. I sat in front of it and didn't really feel anything from it. But some people would see their own reflection change, like their reflection would smile back at them when they weren't smiling, things moving behind them in the reflection, some really spooky things. I moved on to the Estes method, wearing headphones with a spirit box and having someone else asking questions. And once again, I didn't really catch anything. I thought maybe I just wasn't hearing correctly. Some other people were hearing their names called out, so we called someone over to take a listen, a medium. She said she felt something coming from a door that was locked. She asked the owner if we could open the door, and he said yes. So she basically said that what it seemed like is the reason why I wasn't getting much communication during the Estes method was because the door was kind of blocking somebody from communicating with us. So three of us stepped outside, and immediately she said, "Oh, there's a guy standing right there, and he doesn't know he's dead." I was like, "Oh, okay, well, that's something." So we were standing on the back porch with steps, and she said that there were some spirits that needed help crossing over, and would I be interested in helping? I said, "Sure." So she started by explaining to the spirits that they had passed on and how they passed on, which is why they were still kind of lingering around because they didn't know that they were dead. So we started sort of a meditation, and she basically told the spirit that he died from an overdose and we could help him and anyone else cross over. So we opened a portal or a doorway for them to cross over. And when this was happening, I literally started smelling different scents, laundry, perfume, cologne. It was pretty crazy. She said the perfume smells were older women that were crossing over. Then we closed the portal and went back inside. That was a really neat experience. We got back inside and lots of people just tried the Estes method to see what they would all come up with. Now the owner of the museum and the host of the podcast seemed to be targeted a lot. When different people were doing the Estes method, it kept saying his name and attic a lot. I don't recall him ever going up there yet, even in his own investigations he does there, but I think there's something up there that wants him to find it, hint, hint. It was interesting to see how people's questions were answered different ways by the spirit box, but also some of them getting the same information. Once it was over, we talked about what we all experienced, and then we went outside for a cleansing. Overall, it was a fun investigation. In October, I signed up for another investigation. I wanted to compare the experiences because they are never the same. This time, we started off with a ritual and an offering of tobacco. Now over time, the hosts of The Real Ghost Of and Parapeculiar were getting together and doing investigations here at the museum in between and with more research, coming up with lots of other information. They had gone out of town and done an investigation, and apparently a demon followed him home. I saw some pictures from this house they went to as well, and the picture of the demon reminded me of the movie The Leprechaun. If you know what I'm talking about, imagine seeing that in a picture where it wasn't present in person and nobody saw the face until they looked back at the picture. Then he told us to listen for a whistle. So if whatever was in that picture was what was whistling, I definitely did not want to see that anywhere. I will say there was a bit more activity this time than the first experience. Some of us took turns sitting in front of the mirror with a haunted mask I mentioned earlier, a haunted top hat, and a haunted doll from the museum. Typically, I won't touch haunted dolls, but I just thought, why not? Let's give it a try. We did the Estes method, and again, we all got some interesting words and phrases from the questions being asked. A lot of people were hanging out in the museum in the dark, so I decided to join them because I wanted to see what was going on in there. While we were in there, a couple of people were asking for whatever was in there to knock. We definitely heard knocks coming from the walls. I recorded almost this entire investigation, but unfortunately none of the audio really caught anything that we were hearing, just us talking about it. But I heard a single knock quite a few times. We tried something I believe they call the ND method, where two people would have headphones on with a spirit box to see what words or phrases they would get while the rest of us asked questions. Many times, the two people with the headphones would shout out either the same words or similar words answering our questions. I want to say there were a few people who felt like they were even being touched or tapped. During this session, we brought up the demon situation again, and it got quiet, and then I heard it, a faint whistle. I didn't say anything because I wanted to see if anyone else heard it first. So someone turned around and looked at me and he said, "Did you hear that?" And I said, "I heard it." And a lot of us in unison said it was a whistle. We all heard it. Nobody wanted to say anything at first because we just weren't sure if that's what we heard, but it definitely was. I was thinking, oh my God, what's about to happen? Nothing bad happened, but we continued to get a lot of activity through the spirit box. Once we were ending the investigation, everyone went around the room and said what they felt or saw. And there were really some interesting experiences everyone had. I think there was someone who even felt like he was being scratched. I did notice he kept grabbing his leg or his back. And at one point we put a light up to his back to see if we could see anything, but luckily we didn't. I really think that during these investigations, you really have to set your intention on what you're wanting to get out of it. I try really hard to, but I think there's something inside me that just says you really don't want that, or maybe my anxiety or excitement gets the best of me to where I don't get to fully experience what I think could happen. Also, sometimes other people's energy can distract me as well, so if for any reason I feel annoyed or frustrated with someone, that will bother me the whole time and get in the way of my intentions of connecting with the paranormal, but maybe it's something I can work on. But either way, I always have fun going to these and just getting to experience the ambiance of exploring a haunted location and just trying to see what or who may be there. Are you a fan of true crime? If so, come and join me as I discuss true crime cases involving murder and survivor stories. I'm Latasha, the host of In the Eyes of True Crime. And on this podcast, I want to share some of my favorite cases that I have found interesting over the years. If there are any cases you want to hear, just send them my way. Let's talk about it. Now we're going to get into a couple of shared stories. This first one is called Whistling at Night. And like I said before, it is very similar to the whistling that we were hearing at the investigation that I went to back in October. Whistling at night. I live in a house where I can't find much history of. All I know is that when my parents moved in, they found a pelvic bone and dirty magazines in the wall of the bathroom. Growing up, I have always seen a female spirit with long black hair, a pale body, and is around 5'6". I see her walking around the hallway, sitting in my old room, and all that sort of stuff. My mom has seen this too. She said she always thought it was me, and me and the spirit are pretty similar looking. My mom would always tell me that she would walk past my room at night and see her sitting on the edge of my bed, or would see her in the corner of her eye. This has been going on for 15 years since we first moved in. I've gotten used to the spirit and don't see her as much lately, but this is what freaks me out. For the last 2 weeks, I've been hearing whistling. The whistling starts between 2:30 and 3 a.m. The first time this happened, I was lying in bed on my phone. Suddenly, the whistling started. It sounded like a grown man whistling outside my house. My house has only one neighbor next to us, and the other side of the house is land. It was full of dirt and bush for a bit. My room is at the front of the house. The window shows a view out the front of my house where there is a field. After a minute, I built up the courage to look outside the window. Nothing was there, but it got extremely quiet. The whistling stopped. I got back into bed and it started again, sounding closer. After a few minutes, the whistling stopped. The same thing happened every night at the same time, but I don't look out the window anymore. I have a feeling not to, like something is telling me it's not okay to look. Last night was different. As I was preparing for that whistling to start again, suddenly, I heard a bang on the roof followed by footsteps. This lasted a minute, and as soon as I thought it was over, I heard footsteps outside my window. I laid still and physically could not move. I felt a negative energy and something just wasn't right. That's when my dog walked in and looked at the window. She normally is a loud dog and will bark when she hears noises and try to investigate. However, the look on her face made me even more scared. She jumped onto my bed and cuddled me. My dog has been very quiet today and will not go near my window. I have no idea what this is and what it wants. I am a person who picks up on energy very easily and can feel presence. So maybe this is why I'm the only one who is experiencing this in my house. But whatever this is, I want it gone, and I want to know what it is. Here's the next story. Scariest thing that ever happened to me. To begin, this happened about 10 years ago, and I've only ever told this to a few people face to face. Most people think it's a tall tale. It was honestly one of the most unsettling things that has ever happened to me and changed me from a condescending skeptic into somewhat of a believer. Background. When I was a 22-year-old second-year uni student, no drink, no drugs, living in the Stoke area of the UK, I rented an old metal terrace house in second year with my then girlfriend and some friends. It was a creepy and dark house, as it only had windows at the front and back. It had a dingy and damp old basement with lots of old furniture stuffed inside, and a black cat would show up at the back door every night meowing, which I befriended and fed. It was also creepy because of the dark and muddy cul-de-sac that served as a communal courtyard and car park. All of this didn't overly bother me, however, I grew up in a pretty creepy old house built in the early 1800s. It did, as I later learned, bother my downstairs housemate and his girlfriend, who heard regular footfalls at night in the hallway and adjacent living room, only to find nobody when he'd sneak out to look. I also discovered a year after this event that the students who lived there the year prior all believed the house was haunted and were glad to move out. Main story. My term time ended 4 weeks after all of the other tenants because I had to do clinical placement. This meant I lived in this large house alone, which I loved. I'm an introvert and love alone time. It started great. For 2 weeks, I enjoyed it despite the background creepiness. I would just reason any creepiness away as I still do now. However, after the 2 weeks mark, I became aware of a creeping sense of dread that I couldn't rationalize or find cause for. I'm not an overly anxious person and I enjoy my own company and nothing weird had happened. I began to feel very unwelcome and very much not alone. I felt how a prey animal must feel when they feel eyes on their back. I began to feel so scared that even in the day, I would take the 3-mile walk onto campus and sit and work in the library, if not on placement. I'd come home and be afraid. I even devised a system for moving around the house at night without ever being in an unlit area. I also did this during the day in the windowless areas. I had to move from my large comfy room to the smallest bedroom, lock the door, and sleep with my back to a wall, often with the lights on. I was inexplicably afraid. On the final day, I had to lock all the windows, turn off all plugs, get some stuff from the basement, and lock the back door before I left. I was utterly terrified and felt like I was moving in slow motion the entire time. I went around systematically ensuring that a light was on and that I wasn't in darkness. I had piled all of my stuff, backpack and duffel bag. The rest was mercifully packed in my car the day before and at the front door. This is where it gets really scary, and I cannot explain what happened adequately. It was late afternoon and still light outside, but the house was dark. I steeled myself to turn the hallway light off, but the light switch was about 4 meters from the front door at the foot of the stairs. It was night dark upstairs, normal because no windows and all doors were shut. I turned the light off and scurried away without turning my back to the stairs. The daylight still lit the hallway from the open front door, but as I got to the door, the strangest thing happened. My neck hair stood on end. To my shame, if I needed to pee at the time, I think I'd have peed myself. I could feel, see, I can't explain, a black and vicious, shadowy cloud slowly making its way down the stairs toward me. I felt such malevolence. I basically tripped backwards onto the street and into daylight, shut the door, and everything felt fine. Like nothing had just happened. I locked the door and posted the key through the letterbox and have never seen the house again. The only way I can explain the feeling is to liken it to a Dementor and Ringwraith attack, except there wasn't a caped humanoid figure chasing me. I couldn't see it, but I knew. The fear and dread were indescribable, and I have never since experienced anything like it. I have no mental health issues. I was happy and not stressed at the time, etc. I even feel crazy and embarrassed relating the story. Interesting to me, as while I was working on this episode about the whistling at the investigation and following one of the investigators home, I came across the story that I read about the young girl hearing whistling at night in her home. So I was curious and decided to do some research on the meaning of hearing whistling. Of course, I found many meanings, and here are some of them that pertain to the paranormal. It can indicate the presence of a ghost. Now, this doesn't have to be bad. Some people do encounter the supernatural, and it's not always negative. Spiritually, it could mean that something good is about to happen. It could be a sign of some conflicts that you are dealing with, or maybe negativity within your home and with your family. Or it could mean that you may be vulnerable to spiritual attacks. Now, one that really kind of scared me was if you hear whistling at night, it could mean that someone close to you is in danger or about to die. That's very scary to think about. Nobody wants to experience that. But the one that I feel is closest to what this episode was about really makes a lot of sense. If you hear whistling at night, it is believed to announce the presence of an evil spirit or indicating that a negative spirit is near. So with the investigation and the investigators, the whistling is announcing that there is a demon present, I believe, which is absolutely insane. Especially because I saw their videos and I heard the whistling myself, and I also heard it in person. And the story about the whistling at night, she said she felt a negative energy and that something wasn't right whenever she would hear it. So that's why I feel like that last thought relates most to the stories in this episode. But I really hope she is able to either find out what is causing the whistling in her house, or hopefully it goes away. Thank you to everyone who shared your stories on this episode, and I hope everybody enjoyed. Thank you for listening. That's it for this episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. If you have a story to share, please send an email to midnightghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. It will be read on the show, or send in a voice recording to be played on an episode. Also, be sure to follow the podcast on Facebook at Midnight Ghost Stories and Instagram at Midnight Ghost Stories Podcast. Subscribe and download to keep up with each new episode, and don't forget to rate and review the show. Tune in next time for another episode of True Creepy Ghost Stories.